Hello, everybody. Welcome to Motherhood Relabeled, your weekly dose of making yourself and your own goals a priority.
This is actually a non-parenting podcast for all parents who don't want to be held back by the parenthood label. We believe that parenthood is part of us, but not the only thing that defines us.
We chat about all things juggling motherhood, business, and family life by pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones to pursue our own goals and hopefully inspire you to do the same.
It's a sort of therapy tool too, to help us and hopefully you become the best version of ourselves and therefore the best possible parent, partner, and friend. So let's dive right into this week's episode.
Hey, Tanya.
Hello, Vanessa. How are you?
Great.
That's good. That's so good. It's so nice to like have that refreshing change of us. One of us being really great, right? Usually we've both got something to complain about.
And that's true.
That's good to hear.
How are you? Great.
I'm good. I'm better than I was last week. So yes, I'm great. I've managed to get to the gym after a week today, so that's always good. A good feeling.
It is.
Yeah, just been a bit coldy and coughs and all that sort of stuff coming through the household. But, you know, I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Why are you so great?
Well, I think I started this little it's not really a course, but it's like the New South Wales government, they offer this like mental health support small business owners. And I signed up a few weeks ago. So I'm now assigned to this counselor who I'm meeting with once every week. And she specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's just been really good to get some more tools in my toolbox to just, you know, work through my anxiety, which had been playing up a little bit over the last few weeks, you know, with, you know, like I'm working on so many things and I feel like, it's great, and part of growth is being out of your comfort zone, but ultimately you also like, it just triggered my anxiety a bit too much. So I'm glad that's I got this resource. That helps me feel better in that respect. And then I feel like I've been making a lot of progress, like on the business side, like as you would know, so exciting. So Tanya helped me with the brand of my new business, and it's really coming to life. Like the logo is amazing, the colors are stunning.
They're just and Vanessa. They're definitely you and a brand.
That's right. And it's just, I feel like
it helps, you know, having a great brief to start. So
thank you. But no, I registered the business name. It got approved. Cool. Awesome. I registered my domains. I registered my business email.
Because with the registration of the business name, originally it said it needed a manual decision. Is that
right? That's right.
So that's so cool. So you rung?
It's pretty quick. It's not even a lengthy application. The reason it's a manual decision is because it's my business name is a made up word of two words.
Yeah.
So all they have to do is check that it's against any.
That's so lucky.
You know, like inappropriate
to
be honest with my name, it's pretty like there was no reason that they should really refuse that, so within 24 hours they approved it, which is great.
How good. Congratulations. One massive step, isn't it?
It's a massive step.
And domain names and all that too.
Domain names sorted, email, business email sorted. I'm working through some other legal bits and bobs, but I'm
awesome.
Pretty much next step will be working on some product mock-ups, which I will brief you on soon.
How exciting.
Which will be so exciting.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I need to find manufacturer and start the website.
Yeah, but, cool. An illustrator.
That's right.
That'll be a big one.
That's a big part of the brand. Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
And
very cool.
Yeah, no, very cool, very exciting. And yeah, so that's why I'm just feeling high because I feel like, you know, when you make progress, you always feel good about that.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's it probably leads nicely into our topic of the evening.
Yeah.
Which is all about limiting beliefs and the idea of imposter syndrome.
Yeah, which definitely I think every business owner can relate to. And like, to be honest, it's not about being a business owner. It's, I think everyone has probably some
during their time of life. There's always somewhere that they feel like they're not adequate or
100%,
you know, managing, you know, their expectation or living up to their expectation.
Yeah, and I think it's especially relevant in moments of transition, you know, where we are going through you know, we're transitioning into our next level self, like that might be transitioning to motherhood, might be transitioning to launching a business, going back to university, or mm-hmm. any like big life change like that. I think initially you feel like, or you might feel like a bit inadequate, you know, yeah, which is, I sure. think, you know, this feeling
and doubt.
Of, yeah, the doubt and just, like, I feel like a fraud, like I'm not, you know, because there's so much to learn and growth. Yeah. But I think, yeah, it comes back down to mindset and kind of embracing the, I guess, accepting that it's part of the growth journey, knowing that it's normal to feel like that at certain times, but then also reframing to, you know, how do you overcome that?
Yeah.
And actually step into your next level.
Yeah, that's
self.
Right. Because how do you define, do you think, the difference between, I guess, imposter syndrome and limiting beliefs?
That's a really good question. I think they're both very similar but different at the same time. Mm. And they also, you can suffer from imposter syndrome and have limiting beliefs at the same time. I think they go hand in hand. But I think the biggest difference is as an imposter, you feel like you're a fraud. You're not actually fit to do, let's say, a certain job or task, because you feel like you're lacking the skills. And that's where the limiting beliefs come in.
Exactly.
Because you might feel like an imposter because of some limiting beliefs that you hold about why you're not good enough. I think it all comes back down to this belief that everyone sort of has once in a while that we're not good enough for a certain situation.
Or there's there's somebody who is better than you at it. Or
that's right.
And that holds you back as well. Yeah. And I guess that's the limiting belief factor, isn't it? Yeah, it's very true.
Especially because, you know, once you work towards a goal, a goal, it means usually a step up, and you might have visualized exactly what you want that goal to look like, or even yourself. You envision yourself in that next chapter of your life, but there's this gap, right, between where you are now and where you want to be.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the part where you feel like you're faking it till you make it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Fake it till you make it. And I think it's just about being comfortable to do that, because like what I love about manifestation, which is something I've been really getting my head around over the last few months, is manifestation is all about pretending, I guess it's kind of the art of like almost
visualization.
It's visualization, but it's like you accepting that you're an imposter, but almost embracing being an imposter. So essentially, let's say you create your vision board, right? Like with regards to a specific goal or general, like you imagine like your life in 5 years time, like what you want it to look like. And you put all those things into your vision board, and a big part of manifestation is to act like the person you want to become. And basically, just show up as the person you want to be. And eventually, before you know it,
you'll be that person. Because it makes sense in terms of, like, when we think of it in terms of a vision, right? If you don't have a vision, then you're not going to get there, right? Because you don't that foresight.
Oh, it's so important.
It's the same thing with manifestation, that
100%.
You're creating this vision.
Yeah.
And you're working towards that vision, and that's you in the future, but you're needing to believe in yourself.
Totally. You need to believe, and you need to, you made a good point earlier about visualization. So what I do a lot as well, I like actually doing that in the sauna because it's nice and cozy, and I just feel like really like, I don't know, zen.
Something to do.
Something to do. And I just start, you know, it's my form of meditation and manifesting at the same time, where I really internalize my goals and I just envision that person. And it's about this energy. You really feel that energy of what it feels like to be that person. And that sets your vibration.
Yes,
you know?
That's right, which is awesome.
And then you go about your day. But then, you know, I guess we're all human. And eventually, you know, especially when things are getting a bit hard or out of control or don't go to plan, that's where those, I think, limiting beliefs creep back in.
Yes, definitely.
And that's where you can end up feeling like an imposter and feel like, oh, but actually I'm not that person yet.
Yeah, exactly, because you're trying to get there. Yeah. You're making your way.
Yeah, and that is maybe true. That was one of the reasons that triggered my anxiety. Maybe I did feel maybe those limiting beliefs got to me a bit more, and therefore I felt more like an imposter over the last few weeks, which, you know, is something.
I think this could be a controversial one, but I think women feel more like this than men do.
I think there's even, look, don't quote me on it. I don't have the exact stats or anything, but I'm pretty sure somewhere I've read there's even scientific research that proves that women are more likely to feel like an imposter.
And I think it's probably, you know, to do with, you know, emotional things. But I feel like, there's definitely more of, you know, more women feel that like that. And it's funny because women do typically undersell themselves. They undersell themselves in design, in hospitality, in the arts, agriculture, accounting, like you name it. In any industry, I feel like women undersell themselves.
That is so true.
And someone once said to me that smart people are always anxious about underperforming and stupid people are convinced that, you know, they're acing it. And it made me feel like this light bulb moment going, you're right. Like, you know. And
Is it because smart people care?
Yeah, they do. Smart people care, but also I feel like those with big egos, you know, and I don't know, the fakers, you know, kind of are convinced that they're acing it, but they just have much more confidence and some sort of ego whilst doing it. So it may be.
So are
really
you implying that a healthy level of imposter syndrome is actually a sign of intelligence, or as in like probably better, but like better than being this egocentric
potentially
smartass who was constantly faking it, but actually
I think there's just a level of like humbleness that goes with people who are smart, you know. There's a level of empathy, you know, and I just think that I don't know, the stupid people, and they're not stupid, like no doubt, but, you know, I just think that they have a different you know, level of confidence. They have they've got different priorities potentially. Like I just think they're more comfortable in faking it. And why that is, I don't know, but I just think that smart people potentially are a little bit more aware and thoughtful.
Yeah. And empathetic.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, I can definitely see why that would be true.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I was just going to say, like, because, like, I guess the idea of imposter syndrome is, you know, is being afraid that you're inadequate and that you're not living up to, you know, expectation. But, you know, that you also downplay your abilities with imposter syndrome.
And that you're being found out. I think that's a big part of imposter syndrome. It's
definitely.
Like that's the fear of being found out.
That's true.
You know?
And it's a terrible feeling, I think, like if you do feel like that. I think it's like switching it on its head. And I it's funny because I don't really use the term imposter syndrome myself. I think personally I've always just thought about it as these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses and I can't be good at everything. And when you switch your mindset to think like that, then you don't feel like a fake, because you're doing the best that you possibly can. And if you need to fill that gap where you need to be better at something, then, you know, I'll take on a course and learn a new skill or ask for help. And I think maybe typically in my workplace, you know, we're very collaborative, so I never really feel like I'm alone in my work and coming up with ideas, or, you know, if I'm struggling with something, you know, we all generally will jump in and help each other out. And, you know, that I think that's the beauty of my organisation is that, you know, we all have different skill sets and we balance each other out really nicely.
And play with each other's strengths.
Yeah. And so that
support
we can
each other's weaknesses.
Right. And I think that's the beauty and the sweet spot of why potentially we've worked so successfully as a business, because we're not just one person on our own, like as a freelancer, just trying to do everything. We're a skill set. Like we've got, you know, a set of skills that
But also, like, I mean, you've had that business for like 12, 13 years now. Like, obviously, you feel pretty confident, and like, yes, you come in with experience from before. So, like, I guess it makes sense you don't feel like an imposter, right?
Yeah, but there are some times where, you know, you're exposed to a completely new, different industry.
That's right.
Or you're actually in front of like people who you think are just way smarter than you, and you're like, man, I'm not on this level. Like, their knowledge is beyond me. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't even get this. Like, you know, so when you can talk things out and, yeah, like, I mean, lately I've been in front of some super smart people that are influencing like the government and politicians and like, you know, in the tech space, and that's really inspiring and very cool.
I love what you just said, because it's that reframing of mindset. Instead of thinking, being intimidated, or thinking they're intimidating, you find it inspiring.
It is inspiring.
That's exactly what the counselor said to me this week, which was so like this light bulb moment, where she was like, you know, before you feel anxious, you usually feel either frustrated or irritated. And she told me, you know, instead of feeling frustrated or irritated, to feel excited, or instead of feeling anxious, because she said the brain basically doesn't distinguish between anxiety and excitement. It's the same kind of feeling.
Yeah, the rush.
So, you know, it's about reframing your mindset to, you know, choosing to feel excited about something instead of anxious. That's exactly what you just described.
Yeah, like, I mean, I didn't think about it like that, but that is true. And I think, you know, just being excited and amazed by how other people work and how they think and, you know, the power that's in their hand and their mind, like, because, you know, knowledge is power, and you just think, wow, these guys have big brains, you know. It is super inspiring and mind-blowing.
No, you're right. Like, I think especially it's the good thing about our industry that we're constantly exposed to new things, especially with digital as well. It's ever-evolving. Like, there's always something new to learn. So I think that keeps us on our toes.
Absolutely.
But let's say, like, if there's an area, is there an area in your life like where you really feel completely out of your comfort zone and feel like, oh, I feel like an imposter?
That's a tough one. I don't feel like, I mean, if I think about myself as, you know, a mum, you know, we're all doing our best, you know, we're on the same sort of journey of life of the unknown. So I guess I don't feel like I'm out of my depth there. With work, you know, I love what I do. I enjoy it. So it's not like I feel like I'm out of my depth, or, you know, have that imposter syndrome. I think there are certain projects where I definitely feel out of my zone, or I'm out of my comfort zone for sure, because I'm learning about, as I said, a particular thing or a particular subject, topic, industry. But in terms of other aspects, I don't necessarily feel like I'm a failure, you know, in an area where I'm like, I'm faking this. Like, how long can I get away with this? Like, I don't necessarily feel like that. What about you?
No, not necessarily like a failure as such, but sometimes I do find myself thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing, you know, and I'm just learning a lot.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, to be more specific, like, you know, with the business, I think there's so much that I've never done before that I'm feeling completely overwhelmed by.
Zone, yeah, for sure.
And same as goes for the property investment journey, you know. That's why I'm so grateful to have the coach and the consultants to help, because I just feel like otherwise I just wouldn't know what I'm doing. You know, you can only learn like
so much.
I'm learning by doing,
which
is, again, I think some days I manage very well and see it as, oh, this is so exciting. I'm learning all this new stuff and it's so cool.
Yes.
And then other days I feel like completely overwhelmed with everything I'm doing. And I'm like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I think also that's the nature of the information overload, is that, you know, you do feel like there's just so much to know. There's such little limited time, and you want to know everything that you possibly can to get ahead. to, you know, invest in properties, to, you know, whatever it is, start this business. Like, I think there's just so much information and uncharted territory that you're on this journey of. And, of course, that's, you know, a feeling that comes with the learning. But I don't think, you know, of course, you know, with some of the best and most successful business people, you know, they rise and they fall.
That's right.
So that's just the nature of learning new things, starting new businesses. Yeah. Like it's
that's how I try to see it. I tell myself, you know what, it's not like I'm investing millions, you know what I mean? Or there was this like something.
But you're giving it a go.
I'm gonna give it a go. And if it fails, I will have learned a lot of interesting things and I will move on to the next
thing,
you know?
And I think, you know, start small and, you know, just do little steps.
Yeah.
And celebrate those little victories.
Mm.
You know, I think that's the important thing is just those little wins that make you feel good.
That really helped me because in the beginning I was like, I have this big vision for that business and I was like, I'm a perfectionist. So
exactly.
I was like, I want to do all of those things, which is completely unrealistic. Yeah. So now I'm like, I'm going to start small.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one product,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Just
then
get that
I'm
right first.
Build
agree.
On that. But yeah, I can definitely sense that there's a lot of like limiting beliefs creeping in once in a while. And especially I feel like with limiting beliefs, the challenge is we hold some of those from like forever, you know, like since our childhood. Like maybe it's something that, you know, the way our parents raised us, God bless them, like obviously did the best they could. Like not that they intentionally instilled those limiting beliefs in us, but, you know, we all grow up with our own baggage, like you know what we have been taught at home, and I know that I hold a lot of negative or limiting beliefs around money. You know, I always think like, you know, rich people are evil. And I'm not supposed, you know, like I'm like, or corrupt, and you know,
like they just got it handed it to them on a silver platter,
or like I have to work so hard to make money. And look, money doesn't, you know, obviously grow on trees. Like you have, but there's so many where I feel like, Anyway, so what I usually do, like when I what I've been working on over the last few months is to really identify some of those like, limiting beliefs I've been holding on to forever and debunking, you know, where do they come from? Because sometimes knowing where they come from, it can kind of, it can take the power away.
Yeah.
Because you understand yourself better, why you think a certain way. And then, what I've been doing, I'm literally journaling. Like I write down whatever that limiting belief is. And the thing is like when you ask yourself, oh, what are your limiting beliefs? Write them down. Like, of course, you're not just going to sit there and write down the list of limiting beliefs.
Of
like they come up in like the most random
times.
Times and situations. So it's about, I think, developing an awareness. That's what helps me.
Yeah.
That's all I can
talk
about
that's
anyway.
That's right. It's acknowledging it, isn't it?
It's acknowledging, being aware. You know, when you, for instance, like you have a goal or you're working on something and all of a sudden, like you stop yourself and you see that you're switching gear towards negative thinking and then, you know, really being aware and like, hold on, wait a second. That's not reality. Like where does this thought come from? Is it a limiting? Is it truth? Like, because sometimes, let's face it, like it could also be a truth.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know.
And I guess that comes with the critical, it's like critical thinking, right? You're questioning.
That's
like you're tossing up, you know, weighing up the options.
That's
you're
right. And
pros and cons, pros
feel.
And cons in your mind. Like it's just all part of it. So it's, they can, you know.
But they can really hold you back if you let them get the better of you, like, and you almost, the problem is when you start identifying yourself with your limiting beliefs, then you become your limiting beliefs and they do hold you back and then you can't move forward.
Yeah. And that's why it's, I mean, not that I'm saying there's a better or worse way to do it, but by having that positive outset and mindset is
well, you
just
can
that.
Rewrite them. Like what you do is you write, like once you have really like clearly written down, like this is a negative belief I hold because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And
you scrunch it up and you throw it away.
Well, I mean, look, either you're a spiritual person and you decide to like this, even like some people do burnings, they write it on little papers and they do burning ceremonies. Like, look, you do you, each to their own. But like, you know, there's like the idea of letting go, like however you want to do that, you know.
Makes
but
sense.
The idea of letting go of that thought and rewriting your story. Mm-hmm. So what else, like instead of that thought, could you be thinking, you know, instead?
Yeah.
So I think that's where the real power comes, like awareness and then rewriting your story.
Yeah, I like that.
To choose to believe something different. Mm-hmm. And then really, like, you have to believe it. Like,
That's right.
It's not something, you cannot just write it down once and expect the brain that has been wired for, I don't know how many years, you have this limiting belief about something.
Yeah.
You have to, like, with myself, I feel that I constantly have to remind myself of my new story. And it takes a bit of an effort. And that in itself, I sometimes feel like a bit, it doesn't feel authentic all the time straight away. But eventually you believe it.
You talked about, like, you know, it's like, you know, to do with the brain, but also your second brain is your gut, and that's your, you know, your instincts as well. So it's trusting that, and if it feels right, and it, you know, I think that comes hand in hand, right?
100%.
Like it's got to feel right.
Yeah, that's why, like, whatever you choose as your new story and your new belief, it has to feel. You have to be able to believe in it. It cannot be something that. To your point, like if you can't see yourself in it, you're never gonna believe it.
No, and that's right.
Not gonna work,
and that's also an imposter syndrome too, right?
Because, that's right.
You know, that's just can't imagine yourself in that situation.
But I feel like it's a normal part of everyone's life. We all have it. Like
definitely,
it's more about being aware, letting go, and rewriting the story.
I like that.
Have you got any like limiting beliefs that you can think of that have been holding you back, or any patterns of thinking?
You know, I think that I think the main one is sometimes it feels too hard. You kind of, you know, I'm a great initiator. Like, it's funny because when you have an idea, I have all this excitement for a new idea, new business, whatever it might be, and I'll start already creating the presentation and what it might look like. And then I get to that point when, you know, I lose a bit of motivation or steam, and I'm like, oh, it's just too hard, isn't it? Like, you know, the logistics of making it a reality is the part that holds me back, because then I'm like, if I'm not doing it, who's going to do it? You know, sort of thing. Like, who can I get to do it? Like, or help me
That's
to do
interesting.
It?
Interesting.
So I feel like it's a lot of the time, it's time. Time holds me back.
Yeah, but see, that in itself could be a limiting belief.
Yeah.
Because not to say that, part of it is reality. You only have a certain amount of hours in the day.
Yeah.
And you have certain must-dos.
Yeah, and priorities.
Priorities is the key word, though. I think the reason you're not following through with this.
Yeah, because you're not making it a priority.
That's right. Because if it was really, truly your priority, then there would be time.
And you really believed in it, too.
That's right.
As opposed to just being a little bit of
that's
fun.
That's right.
I agree. And money, like it comes down to, you know, I feel like when you're trying things out, like I guess I'm lucky enough that I can, you know, I understand brand, I understand, you know, marketing and have a really general idea of how to get a new product up and running and out the door. But you know, like building an app, building a web thing that, you know, is beyond my skill set, requires an outlay of money and investment.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's parting with that, with the, you know, fear of something failing.
Yeah.
And I think that would be probably most likely like 90% of people's fear of, you know, when they start something new, is, you know, investing all this money and time and it will fail. So, yes, very much a limiting belief.
100%. And I think, you know, one of the best ways to identify limiting beliefs is, or develop an awareness for them, is every time you find yourself procrastinating mm-hmm. with something,
yeah,
it's usually because there's some sort of limiting belief behind it.
Yeah.
You know, that's holding you true. Back. Because procrastination is like a way for the brain to keep you in your comfort zone, yeah. safe, you know, where yeah. it knows it's all
happy
days, not yeah. difficult, not hard. And that's, you know, that's
how true.
I usually and you, identify them for myself.
You're putting off what the hard stuff is yeah. that you need to actually get onto.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Even now, like, I have things on my to-do list, especially for the new business. I know, like, I'm procrastinating because I just, yeah, I have all it's those hard limiting beliefs. Too hard basket.
Yeah, at
like,
the moment.
I feel like I can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't
and also,
know how.
Just there's other things that are more, sometimes you just want a quick win, like to get things done in your day that, you know, is on that list and you just want totally. To cross it off. And that requires a little bit more effort.
Mm-hmm.
So you need dedicated time and headspace to be able to do it.
And that's interesting you say that because that's another thing the counselor said to me this week. She said the importance of also acknowledging, especially as a busy working mom and business owner, it's acknowledging all the things that we do on a daily basis that we don't even acknowledge, mm-hmm. like the meal planning, the grocery shopping, the cooking, the cleaning,
yeah. the
drop off, the
yeah.
all the decisions, you know. And she encouraged me actually to write them as part of my to-do list because
cool.
then even on days, you know, specifically when I look after Theo
mm-hmm.
and I feel like she basically said, my anxiety is probably caused, the anxiety is caused by having wrong expectations. Or not wrong expectations, that's not the right word, but like when your expectations don't meet your reality. And I think mainly that's why also on days I'm with, like I look after to 100% is more difficult because I still have all those expectations of what I should be achieving
yeah.
during the day when it's completely unrealistic.
Yeah. yeah.
And then I get anxious, you know, and like frustrated and all of that. So she told me like to write down all the things I do, even when it's showering yeah. or whatever. So at least I trick
you know,
my brain into feeling accomplished. Yeah. And because there are little achievements, you know, if you think about it. But
yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was quite
interesting. Actually, Joel sent me something today and it was just about, you know, when in those moments when you're feeling super frustrated, you know, your kids are going to do like so many things in a day that's going to be like, are you serious, kid? Like, you know, like, not now, please, you know, and you'll get cranky and you'll get mad. But it's like, take a moment and actually imagine yourself as an 80-year-old person, you know, wanting those moments back. Like, because you see them grown up and, you know, you're looking back on your life. Which, you know, it's true,
oh,
like those
so
moments
true.
Like that you just think you're so cranky, but this phase doesn't last long.
Oh, no, I know.
And
they drive sometimes.
They drive you crazy. Like every day, and I feel like I go to bed cranky because he won't go to sleep and it's 9 o'clock and he's still tossing
also,
and turning and he's like
even,
kicking
yeah,
and
like all the things he does sometimes, you know, like he does the same mistake over
like what
over.
What is the mistake,
like for instance, like earlier he put this like soap, like he puts everything in his mouth, like bottles
yeah.
and stuff, and then he put the soap bottle in his and like then he a little bit got
yeah.
in his mouth and it's like, mate, like
you've done that before,
you're a year and a half old, you still didn't realize that
yeah.
you can't drink that shit
yeah.
like man,
don't yeah forget
just
that
just don't kill yourself, like please
yeah, I know, but they're so curious and like
oh and then
I
obviously
guess the thing is our job is like just, you know, just protect them, you know, from freaking killing themselves every day.
And also I really have to, like every time I tell myself they still have an immature brain.
Yeah,
I know all of
that.
That
yeah, it's true.
I know all of that and I literally go in those moments, immature brain, immature brain,
yeah,
immature
just, it
brain.
Gets you through
and it just resets my, because when you look at it from the adult perspective, you're there like thinking, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
like
okay,
what?
Do this once or twice. Or like,
yeah.
But eventually,
yeah.
you know.
Like, do you know how many times, and I'm sure like every mum goes through it, like you've literally just tidied up. And like I like to have the place in some kind of order. Like, sure, a little bit of mess is cool, but like, you know, I literally just put all the cars, like about 100 of them, in a box. And then Toby comes like 2 seconds later and just tips out the whole box upside down. And then they're everywhere again. I'm like, I just tidied that up. Like, oh, man. And then I ask him to come and help tidy them up with me. And he just watches me. He's like, no. No. I'm like, come on, please. Oh, man.
But that is, that's interesting, right? Like, I feel like the more you tell them something, the more they want it anyway.
And they don't want to be told no. Mm. They don't want to be told what to do already from such a young age, this little kid.
I think it is a developmental thing, though. Like, I think it's a way for the brain to, you know, test limits and, like, understand.
Definitely. And that's definitely where he's at the moment.
Yeah.
He's pushing boundaries and seeing what he can get away with, like running off. You know, which he's never done before. He's always been a little bit more closer and afraid to have you out of his sight. But now he'll run off to the other side of the park. Yeah, and not be afraid.
Interesting.
So I'm waiting for him to turn around, and then he's like, not turning around. So off I go, run. Come here. Oh,
no. So, keeps you fit.
Oh, exactly. I thought about that the other day. I'm like, well, I haven't been to the gym, but I'm sure I've done lots of steps. I should actually have a look. I haven't checked my steps in ages, just on my phone.
Oh,
so,
man.
Anywho.
So are there any, like, tips or tricks that you use to overcome those negative thoughts?
I think it just comes back down to the acknowledgement of them being your strengths for me. Like, I think it's just realizing that what I'm good at is what I'm good at, and where I, you know, have to fill a gap. You know, I'll do whatever I have to do to be able to upskill or, you know, ask for help. I think that's my main thing is overcoming, you know, those limiting beliefs with, you know, by talking to people, getting advice, seeking guidance wherever you can.
Learning.
You know, and people have been
knowledge
there, done
power.
That, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, knowledge is power. So I think it's, you know, And I, you know, it is just reframing yourself and your thinking that, you know, you can't be perfect. And it's funny because there's a doctor who says that typically there are five areas of imposter syndrome. And one is, you know, the perfectionist, you know, that, you know, it's about believing that, you know, unless you're absolutely perfect, you know, you could have done better. You know, you're an imposter because those, you know, those perfectionist traits make you believe that, you know, you're not as good as other people think you are. So, you know, I could certainly have a bit of that. You know, there's the expert. You know, the expert feels like an imposter because they don't know everything is there. They don't know everything about a particular subject. So they feel like they're faking it. They're going to be found out. And, you know, the natural genius is the other one. And, you know, you might feel like the fraud that, you know, you don't believe that you're naturally intelligent or competent. There's a soloist, and it's possible to feel like an imposter, like if you've had, you know, you've had to ask for help to reach a certain level since you can't get there on your own. So that's the soloist. There's the super person, which I feel like both of us probably are a little bit of that. But, you know, that involves believing that you must be the hardest worker or reach the highest level of achievement possible. And if you don't, then you're a fraud. Like, you know, you feel like you've, if you, you know, if you don't put all in it, then, you know, you're best not to do it because, you know.
No, I can definitely identify with that. Yeah.
So, I don't know. What about you? What else? What do you think that could potentially help you?
I think the best way to overcome imposter syndrome is learning and accepting it as a natural part of the process and, like, you know, learning by doing, accepting it and overcoming those negative or limiting beliefs that can help you as well to overcome your imposter syndrome. Because if you manage to rewrite your story and reframe your mindset, you take the power away of the limiting beliefs and it's going to help you, you know, not only achieve your goals, but also, like, overcome the imposter syndrome. And because it all comes back to self-confidence as well, like, because if you can disempower those limiting beliefs, you will gain more confidence in yourself and therefore no longer feel like a fraud or a failure.
And I think potentially I 100% agree with the confidence thing. I think the older you get as well, I think you potentially get more of that, you know, and you do become more confident.
100% agree with that.
You know, and that's mainly due to
life experience,
you know, and reaching a level where everyone's around the same life experience as you or age. You know, when you're starting out and you're younger, like, you know, everything's above you and out of your depth. And eventually with experience and knowledge and learning.
A lot of reframing.
Yeah, like, you know, you slowly get up that ladder, you know. So I think, confidence is definitely one of the things.
Secret ingredient to overcoming beliefs,
limiting beliefs.
100%, I would agree with that. Well, that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
A little deep dive into. but I do think that it's a lifelong journey. Like, we won't ever stop having limiting beliefs.
No.
And even if we manage to overcome certain limiting beliefs that we've held for many years, there will be new ones that come up, you know. I really do think developing an awareness for them and knowing what is a limiting belief versus what is actually reality, and then reframing that is the best approach for me.
And I think the thing is, like, at different life stages, and even that comes down to hormonally, like, you know, those hormones can knock you about and really change the way that you feel about yourself.
Oh, my God.
You know, so I think we could
do a whole episode on how my menstrual cycle impacts my mood, like, and my ability to perform. That's for sure.
Tell me about it. I do think that, you know, our bodies are constantly changing. Our minds are constantly changing. So I feel like hormones, you know, your chemical makeup, like all the things that make you who you are constantly changing.
Yeah.
And, I just think that you have to cut yourself some slack.
Oh, that's so true.
It is just really...
That's a good way to finish that conversation.
Yeah.
Cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, I do.
I just
think, like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, you know, be proud of your achievements. Be proud of where you've got to.
Well, that's a big part in feeling not only more confident, but also fulfillment.
Definitely.
Fulfillment comes from looking at where you started to where... what all you've achieved.
Yeah.
I feel like we always, you know, we tend to forget that sort of thing. Like, we set new goals, and it's good to do that because you need to know where you're
going.
Look how far you've come.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
100%. And how good does that make you feel? Mm. You're like, actually, pat myself on the back. Like, that's, you know, what a great achievement.
Totally.
So it does, it's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Well, we got to remind ourselves more often of that.
Yeah, and be grateful of, you know, how far you've come and, you know, what there still is to achieve.
I even, like, noticed that now, you know, I've been on this fitness health kick journey for just over 6 months now, like, and obviously made huge progress in the first few months. And I feel so good. Like, objectively, I know that I've achieved amazing things. But
you've done so well.
You get used to that, though.
The feeling?
Purely looks, for instance, right? Like, in the beginning, I was like, wow, I've lost so much weight.
Yeah.
And I could really tell
the difference. Now this is normal.
And now this is the new normal. So I've forgotten where I've come from, you know.
Yeah.
That's where the before and after photos
sometimes
can be really
powerful.
That's
a good reminder. Exactly. You've done really well. You should be very proud of yourself and constantly pat yourself on the back.
And now I'm going, we're going to Europe in, 2.5 weeks.
Oh, my God, is that it?
Just around the corner.
Wow.
That's so exciting. But yeah, I'm going to probably put on 5 kilos again.
I can lose them again. Exactly.
You know?
I just think, you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, make yourself.
No, we're actually planning a lot because we'll both be working in some capacity.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, overlapping summers with Australia.
And that's going to be challenging.
No daycare.
Oh.
So we do have our families, but it's different. Like, for instance, in Germany, it's actually a bit more challenging than in France, even because my parents are still also everyone's working.
They still work.
So I've put together this whole schedule because we
that's
have to be
idea.
Super organized about when we work.
Mm-hmm.
and see really where there's time where we need help, where are the gaps, and get people to fill in, right? Because there's no daycare. So,
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Tricky.
It's going to be, I think by the end of it, we'll probably be is dying to months? Come home. 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Yeah. Okay. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. But I think by the end of the, look, I make this sound horrible. Obviously, we're super excited be going and seeing our families. Yes. But I do think compared to last year where we're both off. Like
Not working.
We
weren't
working. And
makes it much more leisurely. Like,
you know, that was chill. Now it's going to be, you know, traveling with a toddler is a whole different ball game. And I feel like
he's pretty good, though.
He is pretty good.
Like, he's pretty calm. He's
chill.
He's very chilled.
Yeah. So I've been spending way too much money on all the things I think might help or save us.
Yes.
That probably will not.
All the fidgets and fidget spinners and games. Yeah. Actually, it's funny because I even just started thinking about, I just actually loaded up an old iPad because I thought, do I buy a new thing? Like, because it's a bit of an old crappy mini. But I loaded up with a couple of games and I thought, brain training games and I don't know, I Googled top toddler, games for travel. But I'll just load up it with more, things that he likes to watch as well. It's just the plane
strategy. Yeah.
The plane 3 hours, 3.5 hours to Fiji. that's the bit that I sort of go, oh God, he won't sleep. Tia will sleep.
Well, I hope so. Well, we booked a long haul flight overnight. I hope, but then now he no longer fits in the bassinet. I hope. I don't know how well he will sleep on us.
Interesting. I know that there are those things, but I'm not sure if all flights and all airlines accept them. But they're those beds.
Inflatable
Did you buy
ones.
It?
My friend gave it to me.
But they're not always accepted, are they?
No, I'll
for
see.
Safety.
Also what we did, and it's a bit cheeky, but at the same time, we're all trying to survive here.
Trying to do our best.
So we booked actually the two
outer
seats.
That's what I would do. Yeah, I did that too.
And we left the middle seat.
No one's going to book it.
Unless it's a fully booked flight, most people don't book a random middle seat.
No.
And my friend said, it worked for her, three out of four times.
It worked for me, too. Yeah. It worked for us at our last trip.
But that being said, if worst case, that seat was booked,
you'd swap
nobody
over.
Nobody wants to sit in between two parents and a one-year-old for 14 hours.
No, God, no. Can you imagine that?
God, what a nightmare.
That's so funny.
And actually, one of my clients as well gave me another good tip. He was like, I used to fly a lot with my little boy and I would go, to the person next to us saying, I just want you to know, my son has a history of throwing up on planes.
Oh, no.
So if there's any free seat on the plane, I highly recommend you get
that. Oh, my God. It would work every time, no doubt. I feel like we need to do an episode on, travel tips.
That would be so fun.
One of my friends, and I need to find it. I've obviously put it somewhere very safe that I can't find it. But one of my friends, when Toby was born, gave me a handwritten few pages of traveling with a baby, traveling with a toddler, and all these really great tips. I really need to find it, Nikki.
Oh, that's
Nikki
so valuable.
Wrote it for me. And I just remember being amazed by everything that was written on that page. I'm like, yes. Things like snacks, take sultanas because they're slow and eat them slowly and, just things like that. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think we will
definitely do an episode.
Dedicate an episode on
traveling,
that one.
Traveling with toddlers and kids. Anyway, thank you so much.
It was
for
so
a
nice
great,
speaking
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it was such a great little episode. So thank you again. And thank you for joining us at home or wherever you are listening. And hopefully we'll
see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye,
tune in. Bye.